In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, October 17th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. With just 21 days left until the November 8th presidential election, evangelicals are ill at ease with Donald Trump, especially after the Washington Post released the video containing lewd comments made in 2005. Over the weekend, Neil Cavuto talked to Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council about his thoughts on Trump's behavior.
He needs to own this. He needs to take responsibility for this reprobate behavior, this wrong behavior, this immoral behavior. He needs to own it. This is not about Bill and Hillary. This is about Donald Trump. He needs to ask for forgiveness and say, you know what? I have made mistakes like this in the past, but here's my commitment to you and to God. I'm going to do my very best going forward to live in a way that does not dishonor this office or dishonor the American people.
Perkins, like many evangelical leaders, initially supported Ted Cruz.
This stuff about Donald Trump was out during the primary, you know, his interviews with Howard Stern. This is why I was with Ted Cruz in the primary, and Ted and I share a common faith, and we both seek to live according to the scriptures. We both love Jesus Christ, know him as personal savior. But look, it came down to a choice in this general election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. What brought me to the point of supporting Donald Trump was not shared values. I'm not going to try to cover that up, although we do have some shared concerns.
Perkins said he shares Trump's concern about appointing pro-life Supreme Court justices, his willingness to call out radical Islamic terrorism, and his support for religious freedom. Last week, World Magazine made news by claiming that Donald Trump should drop out of the presidential race. Now, Christian theologian John Piper, author of Desiring God, contends that both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton should step down, reports the Gospel Herald. In his tweet, Piper said, quote, "Of course Trump should step down, as Olasky and Grudem say. So should Hillary. That is what unqualified means. It's never been a question," unquote. Southern Baptist leader and theologian Russell Moore also told CNN's Anderson Cooper that many evangelicals feel homeless politically in this presidential election, unable to support either major party candidate. God is sovereign. Daniel 2 says, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings." Meanwhile, evangelist Franklin Graham has commented on the presidential race as well, saying, quote, "The crude comments made by Donald J. Trump more than 11 years ago cannot be defended. But the godless progressive agenda of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton likewise cannot be defended," unquote. Graham went on to say, quote, "The most important issue of this election is the Supreme Court. That impacts everything. There's no question. Trump and Clinton scandals might be news for the moment, but who they appoint to the Supreme Court will remake the fabric of our society for our children and our grandchildren for generations to come," unquote. 23 San Antonio, Texas police officers wore Donald Trump's Make America Great Again baseball caps while on duty and in uniform as they escorted the Republican presidential nominee to and from a San Antonio fundraiser. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus, no relation to me, passed out written reprimands for their violation of protocol and not appearing impartial, reports the San Antonio Express News. And here's another wrinkle. The New York Times reports that Peter Thiel, the homosexual founder of PayPal and supporter of Donald Trump, will give $1.25 million to pro-Trump super PACs and to the campaign itself. 12 years ago, Susan Chorley, a Baptist, was pregnant with her second child, whom she aborted, reports Life News. Sadly, she thought that the baby would be a financial burden and add too much stress to her marriage. In 2014, 24% of women who had abortions identified as Catholic, 17% as mainline Protestant, and 13% as evangelical Protestant, according to the Guttmacher Institute. But what makes Susan's abortion particularly disturbing is that not only was she on staff at First Baptist Church, but she claims that, quote, God helped me make the best decision, unquote. Chorley has since left the Baptist denomination for the Unitarian Universalist cult, which denies the authority of Scripture. An American missionary representing YWAM has been kidnapped in the African nation of Niger. Jeffrey Woodkey was taken from his home in Balak around 9 p.m. on Friday, and two other men were killed in connection with the kidnapping. Authorities are on the trail and say the kidnappers are heading toward Mali. Woodkey has been a missionary in Niger for 25 years. Outreach Magazine's new survey on church growth found the fastest-growing churches in America are mostly non-denominational. Of the 100 churches, 42 are classified as non-denominational, 20 are Southern Baptist, 9 are from the Assemblies of God, and 3 are United Methodist. And that's The World View on this Monday, October 17th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And Steve Vaughn's in studio with me, also on the board of Generations and Christian Home Educators of Colorado. He's a homeschool father of six. And Steve, thanks for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. As we comment on these issues, we like to do so from the perspective of the Word of God, but also from the perspective of ordinary fathers, Christian fathers, concerned about their children and concerned about the next generation.
Oh, yeah.
And so we are concerned, and we would love to see our children receive something better than what we received, at least something stronger in terms of family, in terms of church, in terms of community, and in terms of politics. We would love to see them living in a nation that is free, a nation that fears God, a nation that honors God. Wouldn't you love to have that for your children?
That's why we homeschool.
Well, we're back to politics again on this edition of the Generations Broadcast, and I ran for governor of Colorado in 1994.
And I voted for you.
No way.
Yes, I did.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you and about four others. No, yeah. It was about 40,000.
Well, my wife did. Yeah, my wife did too.
So, about 40,000 voted for me. I'm thankful we received a few votes. But ran against a bunch of people who wanted to kill babies and wanted government funding for abortion. And whether it was Republican or Democrat didn't make any difference. Both parties wanted to see that children were slaughtered in this state and that government funds were used to bring that about. So that was the commitment of the Republican. That was the commitment of the Democrat. And I ran as an independent and garnered about 4% of the vote because there are some people left in the state of Colorado that still stand for values and for principle and are not going to go for pragmatism. All right, my friends. Well, here's George H.W. Bush. This is Bush 41. Apparently, he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton in this upcoming election. Does that surprise you?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't like Trump.
Well, not a lot of people do.
No, not very many people like Trump. He doesn't like Trump. He finds Clinton just a little closer to his views. And now, see, again, you got to understand this a little bit. People have this perspective. There is something of a dime's worth of difference. I don't think there's a nickel's worth of difference anymore.
Yeah.
I used to say there's not a dime's worth of difference. Now there's not a nickel's worth of difference. But here's what's happening. I think people don't understand this is what's happening in this country. If you got a whorehouse and people are electing the leader, the madame, in the whorehouse, uh-huh. Now they got, you know, various whores from which to choose from, and they're electing the whore that is the very best and will be the most qualified to lead in the whorehouse. Granted, there may be one better than the other, but who would you go for, Steve? Again, put yourself in the whorehouse. I mean, don't think about it too long.
Yeah,
but
right.
You're voting for the best leader in the whorehouse. Now, one's a little more on the right side, and the other's on the left side. One's a little more conservative than the other. Perhaps not as much underage, a little less Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay.
You know, and the other is a little more Jeffrey Epstein. Now, who would you vote for? Would you vote for the guy who's a little more Jeffrey Epstein, little more enthusiastic about Jeffrey Epstein, which may or may not be Bill Clinton? I'm not sure. Is Bill Clinton or Donald Trump the best friend of Jeffrey Epstein. I'm talking about a recent program in which we talked about a child molester who's a fairly close friend of both Donald Trump and Bill Clinton. But again, who would you vote for here? Come on, who would you vote for? You're going to go for the leader in the whorehouse. Who are you going to vote for?
I don't know.
Come on.
What do you think?
You're being a little mealy-mouthed about this.
I know.
Well, here's what if we don't vote?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is somebody holding a gun to my head and saying
can we dismantle the whorehouse?
Yeah, can we?
Are you with me here?
Yeah, can we just leave? Can we
dismantle the whorehouse? I guess we leave.
Yeah,
but you know, we could leave this country. But I think what we need to do is dismantle the whorehouse.
That would be a good thing.
We have to deal with the wretched condition throughout the infrastructures of this nation. I'm talking about the families, the churches, the communities, the educational systems. We have to focus on developing a Christian education versus a public education that refuses to fear God. You with me here?
Yes.
In other words, my focus is not to elect a president over the whorehouse. My focus is to dismantle the whorehouse by supporting Christian Home Educators of Colorado, which I've done since 1998. I shifted from politics in 1998 to deal more with the infrastructures of this nation and to focus upon the families and the way we educate the next generation. Because short of that, it is a waste of time to deal with Washington politics. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Hi, I'm Adam McManus. You may recognize my voice from the Worldview in 5 minutes, played at the beginning of the Generations Radio program every day. We've received so much positive feedback from our listeners about this newscast that we recently launched it as a standalone radio program at theworldview.com. Not only can you listen to this Christian newscast at theworldview.com, you can also subscribe to get The Worldview in 5 minutes delivered to you daily via email, iTunes, or other podcatchers via RSS. Needless to say, the whole process is quite time-consuming. 9 people work diligently to put it together. A couple people research the news stories at an hour apiece. Then the writers spend about 2 hours writing it, and I spend an hour or so taping it and editing it. And then finally, one of our editors adds in the music as well as the sound bites that were gleaned from interviews that very day. And all of it is 100% listener supported. If you've been encouraged by this broadcast, perhaps even using it in your own family worship like many of our listeners do, looking up scriptures and their relevance to today's headlines, please consider giving to support our continued work by going to generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. Again, that's generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
We're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio today as we talk about Republicans versus Democrats. I remember one radio talk show host used to refer to Republicans as Republicans. The Republicans all over again and over again and over again. And friends, not a dime's worth of difference. And I'm going to argue that there may be a dime's worth of difference on this segment of the radio program. It turns out that some of the key moments at which the nation shifted directions and went towards the left, the key moments at which America made the decision to go wicked, to go against God, Republicans were the ones that made the shift. I know that's a shocker to some of you, but I want you to think about the two issues that seem to still matter very much to Christians, and they are abortion and homosexuality. And I wrote a book called Keep the Faith on sexuality, a little book that traces 2,000 years of Christian heritage, a Christian perspective on these issues. And I think you're going to discover that these are the watershed issues. And this is the point at which Christians must take a stand, especially in terms of politics and culture. And we need to preach, we need to teach against the sins of the day and call people to repentance on these issues. And now, if you take a look at these two matters, abortion and homosexuality, issues that have been the watershed issues of the last 40 years, you're going to find that it was Republicans that showed up. It was Republicans that set the new direction. It was Republicans that said, hey, let's disobey God. We find that in 1973 with the Roe v. Wade decision. I think almost every Christian listening would agree that Roe v. Wade was the most definitive decision of the last generation in which the lives of at least 60 million, if you include children who are slaughtered by way of chemical means, do-it-yourself abortions, and Plan B pills, you'd probably be closer to 120 million abortions since 1973, or back it up to 1960. But the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973, which sentenced children in the womb to death to the tune of tens of millions of babies, that decision came about by way of, now listen carefully, that decision came about by way of, now listen carefully, if you're a Christian, if you're a Republican, if you're conservative, that decision came about by way of five Republican justices, five Republican appointed justices. Five out of the seven justices that went for Roe v. Wade were Republican-appointed justices. Thank you very much, Republican Party. The Republican president that you Republicans elected appointed Republican justices who became the Republican justices that brought about the curse of abortion across this country. Five out of the seven justices in the Roe v. Wade case that approved of abortion for this country all the way to the ninth month of pregnancy were Republican appointed justices. I'm thinking about Chief Justice Warren Burger, appointed by Nixon, William Brennan, appointed by Dwight Eisenhower, Potter Stewart, appointed by Eisenhower, Harry Blackmun, appointed by Nixon, and Lewis Powell, appointed by Nixon. There they are. Five out of the seven justices that brought about the shedding of innocent blood and the judgment of Almighty God upon this nation, five out of seven Republican-appointed justices. By the way, the Democrat-appointed justices were William Douglas and Thurgood Marshall. White and Rehnquist dissented, and White was appointed by Kennedy. One of the dissents was appointed by Kennedy. All right, and don't forget that the first governor in the United States that approved of abortion on demand in the United States was Governor Love, a Republican in the state of Colorado, and he did that dastardly deed in 1967. Now, that's the issue of abortion. Let's take a look at homosexuality.
Well, obviously that's going to be different, right?
No. Actually, what we find is the same pattern, my friends. It's Republicans that destroy this nation. It's Republican presidents that lack the character and the principles to maintain a nation. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But it's not Republican presidents that stand on principle. No way, no way, no way. Why? You take a look at Lawrence v. Texas, the key decision, Supreme Court decision that legalized sodomy in this country for the first time in this nation's history. Lawrence v. Texas, four out of the six justices that approved of sodomy were Republican appointed justices. Now, let me point out to some of you that when I said five out of seven justices approved of Roe v. Wade were Republican, five out of seven is a majority. Four out of six is a majority. For those of you who have a hard time with math, I want to point out that it's the majority on the assent part of this that have overturned these the standards, the values, the principles of righteousness for which this nation has stood over these hundreds and hundreds of years. The majority of the justices that have overturned the cause of righteousness in this nation at key moments, at absolutely key moments in this nation, were Republican appointed justices. Again, when push comes to shove, when the major issue comes before them, the question is, will the Republicans have the character to take the stand at the key moment if they don't fear God, which they tend not to, because American Republicans, conservatives, and Christians will not elect men who fear God, then of course, when push comes to shove, and when the key issue comes before them, they will always take the wrong position on it. All right, my friends, 4 out of 6 of the justices that approved of sodomy in America in Lawrence v. Texas were Republicans. 4 out of 6 and 5 out of 7. Does anybody question why we're so sick of Republican presidents? Or a little skeptical, or maybe a little burned out, or maybe a little hesitant to vote for another loser Republican? Does anybody wonder why I haven't voted Republican in 32 years? Last Republican president I voted for was Ronald Reagan in 1984. Does anybody wonder why? There are some who are sick of it. And I would hope that after 32 years of Roe v. Wade and Lawrence v. Texas, and may I add Obamacare and some of the other decisions, and of course Obergefell, that was written by another Republican, Kennedy, and the Republican-appointed Supreme Court justice, and that was Kennedy. Friends, does anybody wonder why we're not going to vote for people that will turn this nation the wrong direction again and again and again? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 535,967 times, I'm a complete idiot. When are they going to learn? Steve, when are they going to learn? When are they going to learn that he who leads must lead in the fear of God, 2 Samuel 23. When are they going to realize that without the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, especially in political leadership, it's a complete loss? And indeed, you will be responsible for taking the nation in the wrong direction. Why? Because you voted for the president who appointed, as a Republican, appointed the justices who take responsibility for taking the nation off the cliff time and time and time again. Now, the big argument is this, but we're not interested in social issues. We don't vote on social issues. We're just trying to salvage the nation right now. We're just trying to save the nation economically. Economics is all that matters. Who cares about sexual sin? Who cares about abortion? Who cares about Roe v. Wade? And I know there are a lot of Christians who think this way. They're fiscal conservatives. They don't care about the shedding of innocent blood. They don't care about homosexuality and the reasons why God would destroy nations and wipe them off the face of the earth. They don't even care about what God thinks. All they care is about salvaging the nation. Well, I'm here to tell you that Republicans have been of no assistance when it comes to fiscal conservatism. If you take a look at the federal budget as a percentage of the GDP, what do you find? Come on, my friends. By their fruits ye shall know them. Check out their fruits from time to time, please. You voted for these Republicans over the last 40 years. What have they done for you? You say, well, I don't care about the conservative element. I don't care about the Supreme Court justices and the direction that these Republican-appointed justices have taken us in terms of homosexuality and abortion. All I care about is fiscal conservatism. Well, take a look at their fruits. Well, you look at Gerald Ford, and you just go to the Federal Reserve System and take a look at the federal budgets as a percentage of the gross domestic product. And that's the fairest indice for the size of government as a percentage of the entire economy. All right. It's one of the fairest possible indices you can find. So you take a look at the charts. You take a look at the charts. You vote Republican. You have a responsibility to do this. I know you're addicted to Republicans, but take a look at what has happened over the last 40 years. Gerald Ford, what happened in the administration of Gerald Ford in the 1970s? The federal budget as a percentage of the GDP went up. Now, that means what? More government. Can you say more government?
More government.
That's right. So Gerald Ford brought more government to America. As a Republican, Gerald Ford brought more government to America in his administration as the federal budget's taken as a percentage of the gross domestic product. Now, Carter maintained the same. So that's not more government, it's not less government. Carter went the same. For Ronald Reagan, it went up.
Yeah.
Again, as a Republican.
And a lot of people are surprised about that.
Oh, yes. But just check it out, my friends. The federal budget as a percentage of the gross domestic product went up somewhat slightly. Not a lot, but somewhat slightly. So under Carter, it stayed the same. Under Reagan, it went up a little bit. Under Clinton, it went down substantially from 21% to 17%. Under George W. Bush, again, friends, the federal budget as a percentage of the GDP, and by the way, the federal debt as well, went up from 17% to 24%. Let me go over that one more time. Under Bill Clinton, the federal budget as a percentage of GDP went down from 21% to 17%. Under George W. Bush, it went back up from 17% to 24%. Under Barack Obama, it went down from 24% back down to 20%. Now, if you want smaller government, well, it looks to me like Clinton and Obama took us to smaller government. Reagan and George W. Bush took us to a bigger government. Now, if you want more government or less government, who would you vote for? If you want less government, Steve, who would you vote for? If you're a pragmatist and you look at what has happened in the past and you discover that Obama and Clinton took us to smaller government and Reagan and George W. Bush took us to a much bigger government, who would you vote for?
That's a tough choice there. If I'm a pragmatist?
Yes. Who would you vote? You want smaller government.
Then you have to go Democrat.
You'd have to go Democrat, especially if you were to vote for president of the United States. My friends, just look at the data. Look at the data. You say, well, somebody's been fooling me. Exactly. That's what politicians do best. They lie. They deceive. They fool you. They lack principle. Now, it turns out the Republicans, I think, lack principle more so than the Democrats on some of these issues. But what can we say? The Democrats, they claim to oppose life. They claim to oppose a biblical perspective on marriage. And meanwhile, Republicans walk into a restaurant and they always order a little less than whatever the Democrats having.
Yeah.
And cook always gives them more.
Yep.
The Republican walks into a restaurant, orders a little less than whatever the Democrat's having over there. And the cook always gives the Republican more. Now, what's the problem then with the Republican? The problem is he lacks principle. He lacks a North Star. He lacks a direction. He lacks a vision. He doesn't root his perspectives in the Word of God or in the laws of God. And this, my friends, is a serious, serious problem. You know, the Department of Education, it doubled in size between 1970 and 2000 in current dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It doubled in size between 1970 and 2000. How many years is that?
Because we don't want any child left behind.
That's right. It doubled in size between 1970 and 2000.
That's 30 years.
That's over 30 years. It tripled in size between 2000 and 2008. And how many years is that?
That would be 8 years.
8 years. It tripled in size in 8 years. Under which administration?
That would be Bush.
Bush, the Republican, of course. Of course, because Republicans do this. Now, thankfully, the Department of Education has shrunk a little bit under the Barack Obama administration. Because the Barack Obama administration has been a little more conservative, fiscally speaking. Now, it turns out, I don't think it's just a fiscal conservatism that matters when it comes to elections. Now, I'm sure that some who are fiscally conservative, like George H.W. Bush, that's probably why he's voting for Clinton, because he wants a smaller government, I guess.
Maybe so.
I don't know. It's just really, really messed up. The whole thing's messed up, Steve. I don't know how to wrap this up except to say one thing. Two things. The first is that the Republicans are a house divided against themselves and have been for 25 years.
And we know what a house divided against itself will do.
It will not stand.
Yeah.
That Jesus said. Republicans are a house divided against themselves. And you know what? There's never been this many Republicans, congressmen, governors, senators pulling back from the presidential nominee. They're backing away from Trump like he is leprous. He didn't want anything to do with Donald Trump. And they're running as fast as they can to try to salvage whatever they can of the House, the Congress, and the Senate.
At least that's what they're saying.
At least that's what they're saying. It's hard to know who to trust these days.
Yeah.
But it appears the Republicans are a House divided against themselves. There are some conservatives, some Republicans, who stand on principle. And it's usually about, I was talking to a Republican from the Colorado House, and he says there's about 11 or 12.
Yeah.
That are decent guys. He says, actually, I get along a little better with the liberal Democrats than I do with the rhinos. Why?
Yeah.
Because the rhinos are two-faced. They're unprincipled. They're evil. They're just plain evil. Some of these Republicans are just plain evil. They're rhinos. They're evil. They're deceitful, and they're very, very evil. But he says that there are about 11 or 12 righteous people. He says, oh, by the way, the Democrats are evil, too.
Yeah.
But they're just a little more honest, so they're easier to get along with.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference, I think. The Democrats, at least you know what they're going to do. The Republicans will say one thing and do something else.
Well, but it turns out there are 9 or 10 or 11. I think there probably are in every state house, and there are probably, you know, 20 or 30 decent Republicans in the Congress.
Yeah.
20 to 30. I would say there's 20 to 30 Christians or decent congressmen.
Out of 435.
Yeah. And my encouragement, my friends, when it comes to politics, is just continue to support the one or two or three decent candidates in your state. Even if they are running for House or Senate, state House or Senate, and they're probably not running for President of the United States. And what do? When it comes to the President of the United States, you ignore it. Just ignore it. What, you want to prove of evil? Don't do that. Avoid that. Get behind somebody who is principled, somebody who is righteous, somebody who fears God. Much, much better. Get behind the small minority that fears God rather than going after those that are just completely unprincipled and will wind up eventually taking the nation in the wrong direction. And that's precisely what we've seen. The Republicans are a house divided against themselves. And yet, here's the second thing. The Republicans and the Democrats aren't really that much different. So that's what's interesting. Republicans are a house divided against themselves because, and here's the reason, because there are about 10 or 15 or 20% of Republicans that are fairly decent people. They do have some principles about them. But they are a house divided against themselves, and they're having really, really hard time getting behind Donald Trump, who himself is so unprincipled, people are having a hard time holding their noses while they're supporting him. Republicans and the Democrats aren't really that much different either. Republican presidents have contributed even more so to the demise of the nation through the Supreme Court and through their budgets over the last 30, 40 years. And I've just made that point. Remember, 4 out of 6 justices appointed by Republican presidents legalized sodomy. And 5 out of 7 justices appointed by Republican presidents legalized abortion. And remember, it was a Republican nominee that approved of Obamacare. Without Justice Roberts, it wouldn't have happened. It was Justice Roberts that saved the day and sent the nation towards socialism, and it was a Republican nominee that wrote Obergefell, and that was Justice Kennedy. Actually, it's been Republicans that have led the charge to destroy this nation. Christian and conservatives are largely fooled, either because they have been ignorant or because they wanted to be fooled. I don't know if it's one or the other, maybe a little bit of both. But Proverbs 25 and 26 tells us, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. And that, my friends, is precisely what we have seen in politics in this nation over the last 40 years. Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. The nation itself is disintegrating already. And we got the nation leaders we deserve, and the leaders that will probably be the ones that will systematically dismantle the nation, because they will not have that wisdom it will take to balance between the anarchy and the tyranny to enable some degree of stability in this nation in order to proceed as a nation and develop the nation economically, preserve its freedoms, and defend righteousness, at least at some level. Friends, it's just not going to happen. Rather, you're going to find leaders that will systematically dismantle the nation. We can only hope that there will be some leaders that will be able to preserve a few families, a few churches, a few communities, and maybe one or two states from total anarchy over the years to come. The nation is disintegrating right now, and I think of Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to end on Isaiah chapter 1 today. Alas, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Boy, that defines us. A brood of evildoers, children who are corrupted. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it. That sounds like America, my friends. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have been like Sodom. We would have been made like unto Gomorrah. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers. Murderers. Yeah, murderers. Your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious, companions of thieves. Jeffrey Epstein. Think of Jeffrey Epstein there.
Yeah. Wow.
Your princes are rebellious, companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes, campaign donations to the tune of billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. Orders of magnitude larger than they used to be. Everyone loves bribes. Follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. The strong shall be as tinder The work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Well, that's God's pronouncement upon a nation that is in rebellion against him from Isaiah chapter 1. It will go up. It's just like one spark, and the whole thing will blow up. One spark, and the entire economy will implode, and there will be no more other people's money to redistribute across this country. And at that point, blood in the streets, my friends, blood in the streets. All right, are you ready for this? I would encourage you to be sure that your children are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Give them the book of Proverbs. People ask me, well, what do we do? How do we prepare our children for the future? Give them the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. For lack of that, the Christian church is languishing and has no answers for the political state or anything else for that matter. Be sure that you give your kids the book of Proverbs inside and out, cover to cover. That's why we've done our family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. Three volumes to be sure that our children know every verse, the application of it, and illustrations of it in the present day. Give your children the book of Proverbs, and our Bible study guides can be very helpful in bringing God's curriculum to bear. If you want to reconstruct society in any way, use God's wisdom. Use the book of Proverbs. And you'll find these study guides available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.